At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's a podcast that's hosted by me, Kyle Sconewill, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earle. Robbie, not too long ago, we did an episode in the same vein where we talked about what do we hope to see in Spider-Man Brand New Day. Today, we're going to be talking about what do we hope to see in Avengers Doomsday. Avengers Doomsday comes out next December, 2026. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I didn't have a lot of history with Spider-Man, for example, growing up or anything like that. And our listeners know that. But over these years, not only did I get introduced to him in the movies, then you had me go back and rewatch the Raimi trilogy and the Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
I started playing the Spider-Man video game in 2018, probably. Now I've played that game and all the subsequent games probably three or four times. I've now read a Spider-Man Blue comic, so I can no longer say, I've never even read a comic with it. That's not true. I have read a comic of Spider-Man.
Right.
And my point is, you have helped me grow in my knowledge of that character. I will say today's episode will be a little bit interesting because I am still pretty young in that process, early on in that process, in my journey of knowing Dr. Doom and what this movie could even be. So right. Same thing. I really don't have a ton of background here other than the Fantastic Four comic that he shows up in for a split second I read. But I don't have the history to pull on this one. And so I guess twofold, my intro statement is twofold. One, I'm thankful that through the journey you've guided me on, I do know a lot more about Spider-Man. I'd almost consider myself to be an expert at this point from all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And yet I think we're going to do more of that with Dr. Doom is my hope that we'll get a Dr. Doom, you know, focus comic before then, which we have a long time. But as of now, it's mostly rumors and hearsay combined with my knowledge of the existing MCU. How are you doing?
Wow. I'm doing great. I'm excited for this one. In part because we wind up inadvertently talking about what we want from this movie every time we're trying to talk about something else. Because
yeah, true.
It's just, it's been such a strange process trying to tease out all these narratives as they're happening. You and I were talking about that the other day. So much of right. the original podcast was, okay, we finished Endgame. Wow, look at how much it fulfilled all of these promises and everything tied up so nicely. And then kind of looking back and tracing all of that. And we've been doing all that in real time. And so, I mean, there are a lot of things that Doomsday could do. We have no idea how it's going to set up Secret Wars, what Secret Wars will be, how many cast members we don't even know about yet in Doomsday. So I think it's like it's a really fun one to speculate about because even more so than like Infinity War, I think there was so much there where it was just the excitement of having worlds collide with like the Guardians and the Avengers. But now it's like, you know, that's obviously been done throughout the last saga or a few phases in terms of like worlds colliding. But yeah, like what is it all kind of leading towards? Like there isn't a clear, and I'm saying this is a positive now, because I think as we're on the eve of it, like there was a period through the Infinity Saga where it was like, okay, Thanos is getting the Infinity Stones. There will be a point at which the Avengers have to fight Thanos getting the Infinity Stones, you know?
We knew that,
which was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, we don't really know what Dr. Doom's goal is. We don't know how he's going to show up. We don't know why different people from different universes are fighting him. And I love that because it's like everything we do know makes me excited. There are certain things that I think would make me more excited if they happen. There aren't necessarily things I'm like dreading.
Okay. I don't have a lot of specific details, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm with you. I don't think there's a ton that will ruin my day. I'm excited in general that I think the movie, I mean, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the movie to be really high quality. Like in general, like whatever journey you take me on, I hope it just looks good, sounds good. It's fun. It's well acted. It's, you know, it's got some humor, but it's got a very serious tone. And the acting is just off the charts with people embodying these characters and getting to see those interactions. So much like fun, like the Fantastic Four, what their relationship is with Dr. Like, so I just, in general, I do hope, I know it's cheesy, it's a cop out. I hope it's just really good. I hope it's just really fun that I walk away going, wow, let's freaking go.
I think one piece of that for me is I hope that the plot is simple enough to allow all of these new characters and like these character interactions to breathe, because I the longer, like the further we get from it, I think that was the secret to Infinity War's success. Like, it's a very straightforward plot. Like, it's just stop this guy. And so he's kind of this like forward moving thing, and everyone's just trying to halt him at every stage. And because of that, you can pack a ton of characters and a ton of scenes and little beats, and it doesn't feel like overstuffed in the way that it kind of should have, just when you look at the sheer scope of it.
The very nature of this, though, it has to be more complex than that. A little bit, no matter what.
But I just hope it isn't too, like, you know, like I hope that they keep it dialed in enough to where it doesn't feel like it's doing too much, which is still my biggest fear for superhero movies ever since Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder on that note, by the way, let's just say Dr. Doom, obviously I don't know anything about this, right? This is a year and a half out in advance, but let's just say he somehow becomes aware that certain time traveling, universe hopping activities are starting to cause incursions. Like, let's say he becomes aware of Doctor Strange's character and he becomes aware of what Kang is knowledgeable to. Let's say he becomes aware of what the Avengers did in Endgame, and it's starting to set these timelines in a weird spot. And he thinks to himself, again, this is all theoretical, that I need to clip all those loose ends. If I kill Captain America when he brings the stones back, if I kill Doctor Strange messing with it in Multiverse of Madness, then I can stop this stuff from happening. Let's just say it's something like that. Would that be straightforward enough then? Would it kind of turn into a stop Doom from doing these things kind of thing? You know, so I don't know. There's probably some, I think I secretly hope it's a middle ground of what you're saying. Yes, straightforward in that it allows those interactions to breathe, but you know me, I love the Nolan twist thing too. And if you're ever going to do like a high level sci-fi thing that Candace won't like, but I'll love, it's probably now. It's probably now, you know, like this is it. But also trying to be accessible. So, you know, it's like, I don't want Tenet. I want Inception, you know, like.
Right. No. And so, I think that's the thing. I'm like, I'm all for the kind of convoluted stuff, like the sci-fi nerd in me, but I just want to make sure it's something that people can walk into having not, even if they maybe haven't seen a lot of the stuff since then.
I agree.
Which I would imagine is going to be a lot of kind of super casual fans.
Okay. So here was my first point before all that. I was saying kind of generically, I hope it's good. I think I have a really interesting relationship with the original, the OG characters that show up. So when Avengers Endgame ended, things like Natasha dying, Tony Stark dying, Thor and Hulk going on different journeys, Clint kind of retiring to a degree, Vision. I was very, very sensitive at the time, if you go back and listen to those episodes, being like, when they finally pick this back up, it needs to be new characters. You need to let what happened happen, let those characters be where they are and not mess with it. What's really interesting is you maybe even said this to me at the time, but now so much time has passed, right? Like,
right.
I think right. I felt that way for 3 years, for 4 years. By the time this movie comes out, it's going to be 7 years.
Yeah.
Nearly a decade by the time Secret Wars is done that this has happened.
Yeah, geez.
So I think a lot of my mind has changed a little bit to where I think now if somebody makes a crazy appearance, like let's say Wanda shows up, even though she technically disappeared in Multiverse Madness, I think my heart's going to feel 100% into it. Not just...
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like if Vision is back, I think I'm going to kind of love it. I think if somehow there's a variant of Captain America, Chris Evans, if there's somehow a variant of Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow, I think I'm going to go, I think I've fully changed my mind. It's weird. It's like on paper, I shouldn't want it. But when Tony Stark shows up, I'm going to go, holy crap. Like I'm going to, that's what's so crazy is like, I'm going to be all in and I'm going to watch it 100 times and I'm going to like feel something. And I guess that's just for me because enough time has passed. So I have my point is the first thing I want to see in Doomsday is I want to see them handle the OG characters with extreme sensitivity, knowing that I'm going to lose my mind when they show up either way, but trying to also be like Rogue One in that they don't do anything that tarnishes the legacy of those characters. Like the way they handled Darth Vader only increased your opinion of Darth Vader. I need it to be that. I need it to be that. And I don't even know what that practically looks like. I need Captain America to still be as resolute as ever when you meet a variant or something. Or let's not mess with it knowing that I'm still going to freak out when it happens. So my first thing is I want sensitivity with the main characters, the original characters.
Yeah. Well, you know, like one thing I don't want on the flip side of that, and this is not really so much about Dr. Doom because that's a different thing that they're doing. But, you know, in comic book world, both DC and Marvel, I think one of the first things you do once you start introducing alternate universes is you introduce kind of alternate evil versions of the heroes. And
I don't want a Black Widow who's like fighting against us or something. Yeah.
Like I don't want evil Captain America. Like I get it. It might happen because maybe they want to do like Hydra Cap or something.
No,
that's one thing where I would love if they didn't feel the need to do that. And if they're going to bring the original characters back, like, cause the other thing is I don't want them to bring the other characters, like some of the original actors back just for that. But I also don't think you can bring them back for that. And then also bring them back in a more like classic version without it just being kind of too much.
So I think it's a two-handed discussion because I started by saying I want them to be sensitive with the OG characters. At the same time, I don't really have any of the sensitivities towards any of the new characters. Now, maybe that's a fault of the... But here's the thing. That sounds bad. I'm going to tell you why it's good. I mean that with the new characters, it's pretty much free game. Like, if you... Marvel, you pick and choose what are the characters you think are most going to work going forward and get me invested in them, and I don't care which ones you choose. If you decide that Simu Liu's Shang-Chi is like the character that you want me to care about, or Iman's Miss Marvel is, or Florence Pugh's Yelena, whatever one you choose to be like the characters going forward, it's fair game. I have no preconceived notions of them. So like make me fall in love with them. And I love that idea. In the way that Endgame was very much a goodbye to the original six, they totally took the other characters that aren't the original six and sidelined them so that the original six could get their true send-off. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like Kevin said, Secret Wars and Doomsday are beginnings for characters. And I think there could be a beautiful balance of the OGs almost being an epilogue for the OGs, like a passing of the torch, a final check-in on them. Like, here's what Tobey Maguire was doing. Here's what, you know, all these characters, Logan was doing. Here's what Captain America was doing. And it's a little bit of like a, okay, this is the last time you're going to see them. So soak it in. This is fun. You get to see them. You're never seeing them again. But they are helping pass the torch to the new characters that now it's a beginning, like he's saying. Like, okay, that is fully done. And now here's how, like, there's an actual scene of whatever. I'm making this up, but a Captain America or a Tony Stark variant passing the torch to the, he's saying, you guys are now the team. And it's to Miss Marvel or whatever you want, whoever you want it to be. So it's two part conversation. I want sensitivity with the OGs. I don't have any sensitivity with the new Gs, and that could be fun. Like, go ahead and take me wherever you want. I'm ready.
Do you think Secret Wars, not to shift fully off of Doomsday, because I have more thoughts there too, but do you think that it will kickstart a new Avengers franchise as well, like alongside X-Men and Spider-Man and everything else that's going? Or do you think that the Avengers franchise is going to go dormant for a while again?
I don't think it will be super dormant right away. Do you? I think also business-wise, they don't want 7 years, I'm guessing.
No, I think it would be fun to have a, like, to get back into some version of like a phase two vibe again, you know, like something where it's like, okay, this is a team that's established. This is a team that's established, like, and just kind of let the world like build out again without necessarily having to go towards one clear endpoint. So I hope that they do. And I would love for some of those characters, like,
even that you've told me before, like in the comics, there aren't too many Avengers level threats that are left after this.
Yeah.
Like, so they have to decide what the next reason you need Avengers for is, even like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to decide what that's going to be.
Yeah. That's true. Cause it's like in the MCU, the Avengers are, they really have only been called in to deal with like global catastrophes or potential global catastrophes or beyond. So yeah, that's a good point. Like, they would have to sort of work with what the, like, not power level, but I guess, like, can you have an Avengers movie where all of existence is not at stake?
Maybe it's a whole phase of just, you know, many battles here and there. My other thought back to that is, and we don't know this, maybe somebody writes one between now and then. You know, we're talking at this point, we're talking like 8 years from now.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a new comic run that is even bigger before then. Or maybe it's the first time ever they're not going off a comic. Maybe the movie writers come up with a new threat,
which
in this established
Endgame was
world.
Kind of that in a lot of ways. So I also
see what I'm saying. Like, it's not impossible that somebody else, you know, pops up. Or here's a hypothetical. Like, what if it's an X-Men character, like Apocalypse or something, but they have their own movie spin on it where the Avengers are still needed, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that there are ways to utilize that team, especially if the dynamic shift. Like, I imagine we're not going to see Chris Hemsworth as Thor for too much longer.
And I wonder the same about Hulk, you know, like, do you think there'll be a new Hulk? Like, we'll say goodbye to Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, but then there's a younger Hulk in a different universe that gets selected.
Or we're just
Hulkless.
I kind of think forever. Probably not forever, but I do think that, you know,
how do you introduce it like 8 years from now?
Well,
if the multiverse is closed.
Yeah. I mean, I just think we've done so much with, there's only so much that I think you can do with the Hulk.
That character
in the
particular
context of these. Yeah. Like, there,
especially
there could be
if we get like a Savage Hulk or a World War Hulk movie.
Right.
Then I think that's probably enough.
Now. Yeah. That I think I did see some of the rumors about like a Wolverine Hulk. Like, that would be really fun just because it kind of goes back to the comic origins.
See, but it's contradicting yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but
so
he would have to be.
That's what makes me wonder if like Bruce or Mark Ruffalo says goodbye, but there's like a 28-year-old Hulk from a different variant that does make it over. so that they can do that going forward. You know,
yeah,
as part of the quote reset, you know?
I just don't know if they're like, if there's anything to make that character feel unique at this point, just because we've now done like so many versions of Bruce Banner, right. Hulk and
that
Red
character
Hulk
in particular
and She-Hulk. Yeah. It's just like we've kind of, and I guess, you know, if we have like the Son of Hulk.
Yeah. Good point. That character in particular.
There are like, there are other Hulk, like Amadeus Cho is the kind of younger Hulk within the Marvel Comics universe. And he's the son of Helen Cho that was introduced in Age of Ultron. So okay. They have kind of been like dangling that out there for a bit, and they could always follow up there. But again, part of that is he's kind of like Smart Hulk, and we've done Smart Hulk. So it's like,
yeah, we don't want that. No more.
But yeah, I'm curious, like, since they're calling it a beginning, it would just be so fun. Like I was telling Candace, I saw that, I don't think I had realized that the Superman sequel was already greenlit and in the works. And I think what I kind of love about that is just, yes, I know that the DCU is being built up, and that we also have the Supergirl movie coming out next year, and that there's like the Batman movie coming out at some point. But I also just love the simplicity of like, hey, did you like that Superman movie? Here's the sequel. Like, I like that we don't have to wait for like a whole round of like five characters to get their turn before we get back to Superman. And there's something where like, if we come out on the other side of Secret Wars and it's like, okay, now we have a Spider-Man movie, an X-Men movie, and an Avengers movie in the works, it would just be awesome. It would be like, yeah, those are the ones that I want. That sounds really cool. And then, you know, like a Black Panther sequel, which is great. Like, they've just been introducing so many new concepts and properties in the last 5 years that I think if they almost wanted to use Secret Wars to kind of like consolidate in some ways and say like, these are going to be our tentpole franchises and sort of change up the model where like for so long, it's been ever since phase one, we're going to have a slate of original like solo character films. Then we're going to have a big team up movie. Then we're going to have a new slate of solo films. And maybe Secret Wars is kind of their opportunity to just try a new model where it's not necessarily like building up to a climax, building up. Like, it's just, we have some like fun individual series to follow. Kind of something you've said before about kind of like, not that they have to be in different universes, but that maybe they can operate a little bit like less as like a connected thing.
Okay, my second thing I want to see from Avengers Doomsday, I just want a charisma, jam-packed charisma performance from Robert Downey Jr. What I mean by that is, yeah, I just want to feel somehow so tied to this character. I was thinking about the Fantastic Four post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I missed something with it. I watch it the first couple times thinking, oh my gosh, there's Dr. Doom. And that kind of ruled the whole thing for me. Just like, how did he get in there? Holy crap, there's the mask. But I thought it was fascinating upon thinking about it. Like, the baby, Franklin, doesn't seem terrified of this character. He's almost kind of like playing with this baby of sorts.
Right.
What if the next shot is not Sue going, oh my gosh, get out of here. Right. What is happening? What if the next shot's like, oh, how are you? Like, why weren't you at the committee? And there's actually like he's a actual person. I know it sounds dumb, but it's not just this like,
yeah,
but I still want him to have the aura, all the aura, like so much aura, like more than even Tony Stark in like how he shows up, how he walks around, like very Darth Vader-esque in his aura. But I was thinking about like, Yeah, what if there's an actual character behind that that I'm just so attached to somehow? That would be a huge win for me. So I think Robert Downey Jr. can pull it off in his mannerisms. I don't even know what I'm saying. I just want to feel tied to that character so badly.
Man, I'm with you. And I think that this is, and I think he knows this, like RDJ is really this movie will rise or fall based on his performance. I think like,
and it's probably the most sure I am of something. There's that, no
like he
way.
Will kill it.
Yeah, correct. There's no, well, yeah, it may not be to every comic book fan's liking, but there's no way he's phoning this in. There's no scenario.
And, you know, like I will say whatever comics fans want from Dr. Doom, one is complicated because like every major character that's been around for that long, every writer and artist kind of has a different idea of who that character is anyway. But also, like, man, look at what you've gotten so far. And I don't, like, it's not like any other adaptation has nailed it.
Right. That's what I meant. I don't want it to be that. You know, I don't want to feel like the way I feel when I see him in those other iterations.
There's already a level of that where, like, on the one hand, it's RDJ. I think he's one of the greatest living actors. Like I would feel excited to see him cast in any number of things, but there are characters where, you know, if you were to be like, hey, like Robert Downey Jr. is playing Daredevil now, I would be like, that feels odd. You know, I'm sure he could figure it out because he's a great actor, but okay, Dr. Doom is one where like, I think it makes sense. Like he's got the gravitas. And I do think Dr. Doom is supposed to be magnetic. Like there's something about him where he's not funny. He's not like charming per se, but he has this like charisma where like he's someone that can speak in the third person and it actually sound like kind of cool, which is weird. Like normally that sounds like ridiculous. Like, so I've listened to writers talk about writing Dr. Doom, and whether it's like Hickman or Chip Zdarsky or Ryan North, like they talk about how you can just have him say things that you can't have any other character say, even in a
Doom
comic
does
book.
Not like this.
Right. Like there's something about it that's just kind of like he's got. Yeah. There's like an aura that I think Robert Downey Jr., if he is anything, has like he's charismatic. He's magnetic. Like he brings that to whatever role, even if it's a totally different role than like the one before. So
and that's where I say like that. if he's a Tony Stark variant, if he's like, I don't even care. I don't think I trust they'll do whatever they think is best. I don't care. I don't have some if he is, if he isn't, whatever. I think I just care that I care. like I hope that by the end, whatever route you took, I care. The only way I could even possibly envision not feeling that way is like, I guess I hope that he doesn't do some crazy swing that at the time while they're filming it, they're like, this is so cutting edge. Maybe it's like some crazy accent or something. And then you look back and totally regret it. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's a little bit of like swinging for the fences. I guess I hope that you're not hitting a long foul ball one time, but like, it's probably not going to be that, you know?
It is like
if he comes out like this or something, like this is, you know, this is Dr. Doom.
Everyone had said is like something's happening that we can't even describe.
It's magical. He's Mickey Mouse.
He's like using like the Mike Myers Shrek voice.
But you know what I mean? If there's take that's so bold that you're like, okay, I wish we
I mean,
Doom, you know?
A little bit, like you could imagine it going sort of like what like Elizabeth Olsen does in Multiverse of Madness, where it's just a little like maybe leaning a bit more into the camp than a lot of people would want.
Something like that.
You know, where it's like she was having fun. I think it works in the movie, but you can see a lot of people being turned off. But I do think like one of the strange things about Dr. Doom as a character when it comes to adaptations, he is supposed to be Eastern European. He is supposed to be someone that like immigrated over to the U.S. just for for college, and that's where he meets Reed Richards. And then he kind of goes back and takes power in this country that he grew up in. But what's weird is when I'm reading Dr. Doom, and you know, you're reading him say like Stan Lee dialogue or Jonathan Hickman dialogue or whatever, I don't hear him having an Eastern European accent in my head, even though it's like kind of really important to the character that he is like Latvian. And so I wonder how they do approach
that. The one thing there is Latvia is not a real country, right? So you could make it up. You could literally say whatever he sounds like is Latvian. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if he doesn't have a massive accent, you could be like, well, that's just what people from Latvia sound like. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
as far as getting away with it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And, or, you know, there are other ways too. Like it's like he does come over to the US at like a formative time. So you could just imagine that he doesn't really have like he's lost the heavier accent or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Wanda does.
Yeah, Wanda, yeah. Exactly. Wow, great minds take a like. You know, Sokovia is not a real country, but she clearly leaned into like a Russian thing. And then as the movies progress and as she spends more time in America, she just kind of gave up on it a little bit. Like kind of stopped doing it.
I also wonder if Latveria, like if Sokovia and Latveria wind up being like the same place.
Fantastic Four universe?
Yeah, yeah. Like if two fictional Eastern European countries both exist, or if because we've talked about that before with Age of Ultron, there's some weird possibilities there. If you saw Dr. Doom, like depending on how much it is rooted in any kind of similar Avengers timeline. Although even then, like, yeah, like I'm so fascinated to see if there's like if there is in fact a Tony Stark connection between Dr. Doom and here and the Avengers timeline. But that leads me to like another thing that I think I would like to see, or that I think it would be fun if the way that these different characters are tied together is kind of like a follow-up on Loki, where if it's something that's based in like the creation of incursions or in like branches or like Nexus events or however you want to think about it, you could make that work where if it's starting, like if Doom is starting in the Fantastic Four universe, that's kind of the only universe that doesn't necessarily have to have a like multiversal time traveling element. Like it could just be Franklin is kind of the piece there that Doom is drawn to. But then everything else, as you kind of zoom out and look at it, like we know why Tom Hiddleston would be in this, at least in terms of relevance. The like original Avengers and by proxy, I guess, like the new Avengers, Thunderbolts, like that timeline had like all of the Avengers time traveling shenanigans kind of happened to it and built in. And like they talk about in Loki, like you were saying earlier, how that's been allowed to happen. But then also in X-Men, like in Days of Future Past, they go back and like change the timelines.
Yeah, good point.
In that way. So you Deadpool, could kind Wolverine, of see.
Also.
Right, exactly. Like you could see where, and Deadpool even prior to that, like did that with like Cable's tech. So you could see like all of these characters have been like involved in some kind of event that and would not be like permissible.
You could make a weird argument for like what happens to Monica at the end of the Marvels.
I was thinking one. That, yeah.
And, well,
yeah.
And then how about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield even showing up? Now it's not their fault, but like
true.
They left their universe technically.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So and you could kind of make an argument, like you're saying, for all of them being like, that was not supposed to happen. Or that wasn't supposed to happen, or whatever. And who's dictating that still? We don't know. Because the whole point of like it was allowed in Loki was, I guess, Kang was allowing it. But now who is not allowing it, you know, per se? Or if it's just, like you said, a force of nature. It's whether you allow it or not, incursions are now happening because you did it.
Yeah.
So maybe Loki didn't see that part of it. Like, yes, you have all the branch timelines now. You're holding them. Great. But this then happens because of that.
Yeah, which, I mean, that also makes sense for why Doom would now, like,
again. Well, and Kang talked about the great multiversal war, you know?
Yeah. And, like, I also think that fits whether I still think that there's a lot of room for them to make Doom kind of the like, more extreme
version
of, Iron Man. Well, no, I mean Iron Man in terms of like the kind of protect things at all costs, like suit of armor around the world thing. But even if you don't do that, Doom is the guy that like will always, like he never questions his own capability. Like he's so egotistical, but like it's like pretty justified that he's the one that's always going to step in and do something really dramatic and like take it all into his own hands. Like it really is kind of these bits that you see of Tony Stark, but with like no real conscience or humility or anybody around him that can speak to whatever he's doing. Like they can hold him back. So I can imagine Doom being the one that's looking around at the potential chaos, kind of like what Kang is setting up in like Quantumania, and just saying like, okay, well, like this can't happen. So I'm going to be the one to go to each of these like groups that are messing with time and just like eliminate them or do something that eliminates those branch timelines, and they have to fight to survive. And he's actually maybe doing the right thing, because if they continue on, then you do get like these massive incursions and you kind of wind up in Hickman Avengers world where it's like the lesser of two evils. But I do like, I like that there are different ways they could bring this stuff in to make it feel a little bit less just like, and here are the original X-Men, because we want to see them, you know, before we kind of tie up this whole storyline.
Do you have anything else? Otherwise, I'm gonna close this on this final thought, I think.
No. Here's my thing that I think I would, like, the thing I think about a lot with Doomsday, and this is so funny because I don't think it's a character that is, like, the crux of the movie at all. But okay. I hope we get a really great Thor. Like, I like where Thor's landed. I like that he's kind of back to long hair and he's got Mjolnir potentially. I wonder if this is the last Chris Hemsworth outing, and I just hope it's like,
remember it was your friend that said secretly you guys argue about Team Iron Man, Team Cap, you're both just Team Thor is really what it is.
I mean,
it's kind of true. Like, I'm here for it. I think about him all the time. It's so weird. I do.
In part, you know, it's because Iron Man and Cap are gone, like the originals. But there is just something about Chris Hemsworth as Thor that I find so comforting. Like, there's something about the way they set him up as like this is the guy. Like, when we need someone, like, this is our guy that's going to come in and like, wreck
it's
everyone.
It's the best thing ever. I know.
And I hope that we get a good turn from him.
Okay. So hear me out on this point. We talked about Hulk earlier. I, for some reason, don't feel the same way that I feel about Hulk with Thor. I think there's a good chance that this is Chris Hemsworth's last Thor. But I think there's also, hear me out, a good chance we're not even remotely close to being done. I think Thor is this weird character in how it exists in the MCU, that if Chris Hemsworth as a human being wanted to keep doing it, it would totally work for him to, let's say, take the next film. Let's say Thor 5 is him establishing a new Asgard, that they find a new planet to live on.
Yeah.
I think it's totally believable that you could, if Chris Hemsworth was okay with it, use Thor as that like ace in the hole for 30 years. Like the thing about Thor is like, even if he becomes Odin's age, you can still sell me that he's crazy powerful as old man Thor, just governing and ruling his own planet and kind of keeping justice in his world. So my point is, for 10 years, for 15 years, you could just occasionally, when needed, have Thor show up and be like, what are you guys doing here? And I don't think you're constantly asking, where's Thor? Because you don't have communication to him to this other planet. And I just think like Hulk, if you want to tell more Hulk stories, you need like a new, younger Hulk, I think, if that's what you want to do. Or you just say goodbye to Hulk, and I'm okay with either. With Thor, I think I'm pulling for him to always be there. Like, I don't need Thor 6, Thor 7, Thor 8, Thor as individual movies, but when needed, I like that my brain can just be okay with the fact that he's just out there, like, living life. And yet, occasionally showing up. And he's okay with cameoing here and there. Especially if he gets one more film. A solo film.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that character's in You could just make that last for a long time if you wanted to. And I don't think you need a new Thor, like Thor's kid. I don't think you need necessarily. I don't think you, like, you know what I mean? Because you still have 20 years if you want, if you're okay with it.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, and it's not like Chris Hemsworth is old. Like,
no. And he will still probably look in shape at 80.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, Hugh Jackman coming back doing a great Wolverine movie. Yeah. I think that's true.
Hey, Siri, how old is Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth is 42 years old.
For sure. 18. Yeah. He's 18 years younger than Robert Downey Jr., right? So he's got 25 years that he can look good and just be a king if you wanted.
And that is like, again, Jason Aaron did a lot of really fun stuff with King Thor. And, you know, he's like, he gets the eye patch. And like at one point loses an arm, but he's kind of like more grizzled, but he's got the beard and like, it's still cool. It's just totally different. And yeah, I do. I would like that. I
don't think this is his last movie. I don't.
I mean, to your, and I recognize this is more Doomsday and Secret Wars. And maybe this will transition to you to close it out, but I really like what you were saying, you know, what Kevin has said about this being a beginning. And that's why I'm talking about maybe it's something where we kind of have these consolidated franchises or a new approach or something. But as part of that, I would also like to see some like status quo things reestablished a bit, even if in a different way. Like when you say find a new planet for Asgard, I do miss there being an Asgard, like, and in the same way that like we kind of have an Avengers Tower again, it would kind of be fun if just certain things start to kind of get put back in, like so many pieces have been knocked over in really great ways, and we like applauded the MCU for doing that. So I'm not saying that shouldn't have been done, but now I think it could be a fun time to say, okay, like let's set the pieces back up and have something that's a little bit more recognizably like the Golden City of Asgard. And I would kind of like, we've done the Asgard on Earth thing now for a bit. And
it would maybe be fun to watch them rebuild somewhere else. And I think that's totally viable as a fan, right? That they could find their planet and kind of make the same magic happen. I'm okay with that. It's not like,
especially if like, I mean, that feels like something Loki could take part in, and that would be kind of a redemptive moment for him.
Sure.
Okay. What was your final thought?
Here's my final thing, and I think you're going to love this. I think you and I on this podcast, but especially the fan culture at large, has spent a lot of time debating since 2020 the logistics and the failures of the multiverse era, right? We talked about all these things that we wish they could have done better and they could have set this up better. And I think I've realized, I think we've sometimes missed the point in that the beauty of how much I liked Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts is that I stepped back and I started taking stock of it. And it's like, I am now emotionally so primed for Doomsday because I care so much about the Fantastic Four now. And I care so much about the Thunderbolts and the new team there. And I started looking and going like, you know what? Every kind of character that they've left, think about if Spider-Man is a ground level movie, that's a banger. And like, so now you have that whole team of ground level people. It's all just kind of simmering. And I feel like it's all left in an emotional spot where I care now about all of them. And so like,
that's a good point. I really do.
I think we've missed that. Like, the plane still could be landed spectacularly.
Oh, for sure. It totally could. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I spent a lot of time kind of thinking like, well, they didn't get all their ducks in a row. But dude, I don't know. These last two movies being what they were and how good they were, I'm now thinking, I don't know if that's the case. Like, when I see the Fantastic Four, I'm going to get giddy. When I see the Thunderbolts, I'm going to get giddy. And then when I see Dr. Doom interacting with the OG Avengers as well,
for some fashion,
I'm going to get giddy. And I think about then if they get a cameo of some X-Men characters, OG characters, or some OG like Spider-Man stuff, I'm going to be giddy about all of it. And it's probably like if it was just old cameos of X-Men and Spider-Man and then this like the remnants of an Avengers team, I don't think I'd care as much. But because of the new Avengers and because of Fantastic Four and because of like Shang-Chi and Miss Marvel and Wanda and like where, how they play into it and Doctor Strange, because that's the other thing, the magic side of it too is another whole aspect that's kind of just simmering in there.
Yeah.
I think that because of that, it's going to be a huge win. I think it's actually more primed for an awesome Avengers movie than we ever thought.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. I think that's a good point. And like, if anything, all I would change would be there were some earlier projects that didn't get follow up quickly enough in my mind.
Sure.
Like,
yep.
But I still think like when Shang-Chi shows up in Doomsday, that's going to be really fun.
And that's what I mean. To clarify, I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying they're absolved of any issues. I'm just saying emotionally, I think it's going to work. I'm really ready for it. Even despite all the quote unquote missteps, it's still going to be a banger.
I agree.
Let us know your thoughts. What do you think about Avengers Doomsday? They've actually already wrapped the first chunk of filming, so they're technically done with the movie. They now need to do a bunch of post-production, and then apparently we'll have to come back and add more. But apparently they have enough now, is the rumor, to make a first cut of the film. So that's a long time in advance for this movie to be done, quote-unquote. Like, the fact that the filming is done over, what is that, 16 months in advance is a good sign, I think. They have a lot of time to figure out how they want it to be portrayed. So with that news, how are you guys out there feeling about Avengers Doomsday? Let us know your thoughts, comments, questions. As always, subscribe, rate, review. Hit us up in any way. You know all the ways. And otherwise, we'll see you on here chatting, or we'll see you on Discord chatting about this stuff. And we'll see you back here next time on Friends from Work.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.